The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. You are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. Here on Sundays from noon to 2, you can listen to all of us. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And Bob Martin.
And together we talk about subjects that will probably make you angry, but they're informative, and in the meantime, you might laugh a little bit. So.
And it's the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, contrary to what you'll...
So help you God, yeah. Big G.
Yeah. Just because it's on the internet doesn't make it true.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So today we're speaking with Lawrence Kogan, that we call Larry, but you'll find him online as Lawrence, because that's what his folks picked. Let's see, he's the managing principal of the Kogan Law Group and president and CEO of the Institute for Trade Standards and Sustainable Development. And you can read more about that. It's not the bad sustainable development, as we went through in the first hour. It's the good kind. He has 25 years of experience, international experience on business and law, counseling public, private, and private clients on cross-border transactional planning and policy matters. I always like that part. Enabling recognition of the legislative, regulatory, policy, and trade and investment risks and opportunities that their activities may engender. And you know, out here in the West, we've got a lot of all of that.
We have a lot of
policy problems.
On top of that,
we got all sorts of stuff. So he is helping. Currently an irrigation district out here in the West. They are up in southern end of Oregon, but they are part of the Klamath Project, which was put together in 1905, large project. Larry, tell me again, how many acres? I should write that down.
Well, I think it's about 220,000 acres.
220,000 acres. So it's a lot. And you have 16 different irrigation districts. You had, at one point before they shut the water off, it was like 1,400 farmers back in 2001, and I guess now it's down to like 1,200. They grow potatoes, hay, alfalfa, horseradish. I know there's other stuff, but those are the ones I could think of off the top of my pointy head. You have a lot of agriculture up there. And so where you have agriculture, you have to have water. So it's a high desert environment, and the irrigation districts run this web of infrastructure, I guess, that is the project. So when we talk about the project, we're not talking about the typical thing, you know, I'm doing a project, so it starts and stops. This is an ongoing thing. It is currently being run by Bureau of Reclamation, because none of the irrigation districts have taken back their hardware in the project, you know, whether it is a flume that runs water or a head gate or what they call works in irrigation talk. They have not taken those back in large part because they can't get an accounting from the Bureau of Reclamation. That has not been done since 2001 when they shut the water off on them.
So we give them money and they spend it and they don't have to account for it? Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much. The irrigation districts pay the Bureau of Reclamation. The Bureau of Reclamation bills them for certain activities that go on, but an accounting on the project, the whole thing, has not been done since 2001. And interestingly enough, it is the only project in the United States that does not have current accounting. And that's from a GAO report that I will be happy to link on the webpage. I haven't done it yet, but I'll do it.
And how much money are we talking about? Any idea? Obviously, it's in the millions, but...
Gazillions. I mean... Just for instance, we spoke about this in the first hour. The Klamath water users that represent about a third of the irrigators up there, membership in that organization for the Klamath Irrigation District that we keep calling the KID. Sorry, we're going to be acronyming you today. The KID, their dues to that organization are $238,000 a year. So that's just to be part of a group that would, you know, be supposed to represent you And that's got nothing to do with running your irrigation district or farming your land or any of those things. So imagine how much it is.
Yeah, and we don't know where that money's going?
Well, no, that's different money. I mean, that's not Bureau money. But I have no idea what the Bureau take is. They also lease land up there, and that lease land money should go back against the project and reduce the debt that the farmers owe. But we can't know what that is because it hasn't been done since 2001. So, Mr. Kogan, I know you put that to the Bureau, and I know the congressional district in Congressman LaMalfa's district has also requested the Bureau provide an accounting. What do you think about that likelihood of that happening?
Well, as the director, the regional director, had indicated, that may not be the easiest of feats to accomplish because lack of skilled persons in the position to provide such an accounting, which seems to be a Department of Interior systemic problem, because I have clients who are irrigators on the Flathead Indian Reservation in Montana, and that infrastructure project, the Flathead Irrigation Project, also hasn't gotten an accounting. The General Accountability Office of Congress had produced a report on the Flathead Irrigation Project. Actually, they didn't even produce a report on the Flathead Irrigation Project. They never visited that project, but they took the word of the Bureau of Indian Affairs, which manages it, and they had reported a number of somewhere $82 million deferred operations and maintenance costs. That means costs to repair the project that was not prepared, not repaired, which means that those irrigators are in the hole already for at least $82 million. And they can't verify the number because somehow the Bureau of Indian Affairs can't line up the columns to add the numbers right. We have the same problem on the climate. The BOR can't line the columns up straight to add the numbers.
So let me get this right. They're saying they don't have the personnel to gather these numbers up and give an accounting. So we're just supposed to say, oh, okay, we'll just take your word for it and just press on doing what we're doing?
Exactly. They say, please trust us. We have your best interest in mind.
Yeah, trust us.
In other words, if you go back to Ronald Reagan era, when he joked, the worst thing you could hear is, hi, we're from the government, and we're here to help you.
Yeah. So just trust them that they're spending the money okay, because they always do, and
right. Let's
just move forward and continue doing what we're doing, and let's not worry about where the money's going.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can tell you is that I'm sending, actually, an email to you all right now, to Aaron, and I think you should open this document, because what it is, it's a Bureau of Reclamation document from 2014 that says that a portion of the monies that the irrigators pay into the reclamation fund, guess where that's going? It's going to pay for tribal water rights settlements, i.e. the Klamath Indians and the Hoopa and the Karuk and the Yurok tribe, water rights settlements. That's where the money's going. They can account for that, but they can't account for how the project operates.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and how much do we owe, and how much have we paid on that little portion of the deal?
Well, I would invite both of you, Aaron, if you would look on your email.
Yeah, doing it. Oh, here we go.
The document, and then you can see the highlighted portion.
Wow.
Nice. I will add that to the page as we speak.
And it actually dates back to efforts in 2008. We found 2008 testimony wherein the Bureau of Reclamation, and I think John Bezdek was mentioned in this testimony, was trying, there are people who are testifying, trying to have reclamation funds systemically to be used to pay for tribal water rights. So, back then, it was only being used on a case-by-case basis. Now, in the current administration, I think they're just using it regularly to pay for tribal water rights settlements instead of having to go back to Congress for appropriations, which feeds into...
No, the Obama administration circumventing Congress?
No,
I'm shocked.
You know how they follow the rule of law, don't you?
Yeah, I... Unfortunately, yes, I do.
Yeah, their law.
They follow the rule of men, but not the rule of law. But if you look at the document, you will see that it says tribal water rights settlements. It mentions the KBRA, for instance.
Klamath Basin now, Restoration Agreement that died in the House at the end of last year.
Right, and Klamath Water Users Association people, including Dan Keppen and Greg Addington, and I think his name is Mr. Simmons, the attorney for that organization. They all wanted the KBRA out there. They were very shocked that Congress didn't approve of it in December 2015. So what they've managed to do is insert, they've disaggregated, broken it into pieces, and they're inserting it into the new agreements.
Wow.
So, and it even mentions the Trinity River Restoration Project that's funded for the benefit of the tribes down there. So that's where the money's going. But they can't figure out how to account for the project. They can account for the tribal water rights settlements.
I'm still stuck on the fact that they get all this money, and they just don't have the people to account for it, so you're just not going to get an accounting.
And keep paying us, by the way.
And keep paying us, by the way, because we're doing a great job, and your problems are all in your head, I guess.
And they're required by reclamation law to provide an annual accounting to the project, if not the district's portion of the project.
Right. But that's an old law.
And they've done neither.
So what if the districts opted not to pay their bill until reclamation gave them an accounting? Do they have any ability to do something like that?
Well, it would make it interesting if Congress were to propose, someone in Congress were to propose a bill to that effect. It would certainly say that, if you can't come up with an accounting for 15 years, you're suffering more than incompetence and negligence at the Bureau.
Oh, without a doubt.
It's almost like a retribution for the Bucket Brigade. It's a retribution that says we're not going to do things for the irrigators. We've got more important things to do. We have to save fish. We have to save tribal water rights. And it seems to me that that's a policy decision that was made a while ago. Maybe it was incompetence during the Bush administration, but I think it's a policy direction under the Obama administration.
Well, and reclamation was put on the books to do these large infrastructure projects to benefit people. Bridges, well, water, dams, that kind of stuff.
Well, when the project was finished, I mean, the irrigators were subject to a repayment contract to pay back for the cost of the infrastructure over the course of years. And the way the 54 agreement was structured, they recognized that repayment obligation and that obligation to make maintenance and operational repairs, and to pay for water delivery was going to take time because agriculture, has cycles, ebbs and flows.
Sure.
And the point is that it was understanding of that irregularity at times and how that could affect the farmer's ability to repay a contract. Now, this sea canal flume replacement contract didn't particularly take into account any of those import considerations. So in addition to the lack of a cure provision, they decided to make an adjustable repayment provision, which could put the farmers in serious, serious jeopardy financially, causing a default, resulting in the Bureau taking over the project again, which it seems like the Bureau wants to do. It wants to control all the infrastructure, the dams, the gates to the project, and the project infrastructure within the boundaries of the canals and the ditches.
Well, they sure wouldn't have to work with all these irrigation districts, and they wouldn't have all of that. They could just dictate.
Well, yeah, that's that European-style socialism you're talking about, because it is a regulatory, overbearing attempt to control economic activity for higher calling, such as wildlife protection and environmental protection.
Yeah, because there was a quote someone had sent me revolving around Ed Sheets, actually. Maybe it's on that page. On the break, I will look, because it gave the new direction of the Bureau of Reclamation, and that was quite a while ago. I think most people would be surprised. I've added both the documents, just a little FYI for folks that are listening on Sunday afternoon. I've added both those documents for people after the fact. There you go. You have the added benefit of having it all there the whole time. You can find that at wethepeopleradio.us. I'll look that up. We'll be ready with our quotes on the new direction of reclamation when we come back with Mr. Lawrence Cogan.
Time. With so many lies, you twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
We're back. You are listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We stink at taking breaks, and I'm especially bad at the first one in every hour. It's like, Bob's got to actually just turn everything off, start the music, and make us do it.
Yeah.
Or we're late the whole time. While we were on the break there, I was thinking about one of the meetings that I attended with Larry last weekend. Just so happened we had one of those people on the line with us, and they only had one thing to say about their interaction with Larry.
You're killing me, Larry.
For you sit and sleep fans.
Okay, we couldn't resist. That is, however, what is written all over their faces.
You're killing me, Larry.
Hey, talk to us about the meeting with the gal that now doesn't work there anymore. What happened there? Did somebody get out of line?
Well, she was the former area manager for Klamath Falls,
Bureau of Reclamation.
Bureau of Reclamation.
Yes, she ran the Klamath Falls office and was chiefly responsible for engineering the terms and conditions of that agreement, I would suppose, though I am not so sure that it wasn't also dictated from above.
Sure.
She had a mystique about her which showed me that she was doing a lot more than she was letting on. She was meeting in private with people. Both from the district and the board, the employees, the engineering contractor, trying to ensure that what she wanted to get done actually got done. Unfortunately, along the way, her actions had disrupted relationships, not only between the district and the bureau, but between the district's management and its employees, the district's board and its management, and the district and its engineering firm. You can't get things done when you create that kind of level of disruption. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it did result in our writing some articles out there in order to wake up the public about what was going on, and I believe that that may have prompted the action taken on Friday, last week, following our meeting.
Which,
she is, from what I understand, to be moved into the forest.
Off you go to the forest. We don't
off
have Siberia.
We don't have Siberia. Yeah, you're
so
going
you
to
the
forest. Yeah.
Hey, and here's this thing from the January 1988 Northwest Energy News. So this is not new. This is not an Obama thing. This happened a long time ago. U.S. Bureau of Reclamation has announced plans to change its mission from one of developing water resources to one of conserving them. After more than 85 years in the business, Push the wrong button. Of dam building and irrigating deserts for agricultural purposes, the Bureau has concluded that its mission in those areas has been accomplished. It's over now. The new mission will include taking care of existing projects, some of the largest and most complex irrigation systems in the world, more efficient and being more efficient and more responsive to environmental concerns. The Bureau may also apply its engineering capabilities to looming problems, such as the depletion of groundwater and the buildup of silt and toxic waste in Bureau projects. That's funny, though. They want to take out the dams, and they're going to let 20 million cubic yards of silt go down the river.
There's no toxic waste, and they weren't talking about those.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yeah, sorry, I got that wrong.
Yeah, those are exempt.
So that was 1988. Interesting. And if you go on our website, wethepeopleradio.us, you will see it on the Mr. Ed page. Just scroll down. It's there for your fun.
Outstanding. So she is now going to be dispatched to the forest, and somebody else is coming in that has a little more experience. And
well, we don't know who's coming in. Oh, well, the guy is coming in temporarily.
Yeah.
Who
has had a great relationship.
Right. One of the gentlemen who was sitting at the table with us during last Thursday's meeting will be responsible for selecting the full-time manager of the Klamath office. The person who they've appointed only on an interim basis, from what we understand, they're pulling out of retirement. And they will manage that office beginning tomorrow, Monday, until the full-time manager is selected. Hmm. And that article appears in the Herald and News, written by none other than the yellow journalist Lacey Gerald. The article was out in the Friday newspaper.
Boy, it's really starting to sound like Bureau of Reclamation is seriously short on talent. They don't have anybody that can balance their books, and they don't have anybody when you have a mid-level manager type person leave, nobody they can move in and kind of fill the chair. They got to pull somebody out of retirement. Wow.
Well, you know, there is a lack. You know, it's interesting. During the course of all this, we did some recent research that we found there was actually a National Academy of Sciences report from 2006, which I'm going to send to you, that talks about the lack of institutional memory within the Reclamation Bureau.
Hmm.
And they have some problems. They have to... You know, the National Academy of Science in 2006 wrote up a report that said that they've got to undertake certain structural changes to make the Bureau more efficient. And it's quite interesting that this has been out there, but no one's talked about it.
Yeah.
So you're dealing, in other words, we have two parties in a relationship, and one party really isn't able to perform the way it's supposed to perform under the law.
And yet they seem to hold a lot of the cards.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, they were also dealing with a board of directors in the past, which also wasn't really up to snuff either. So, you know, when you have two parties to an agreement that were not up to snuff, then you have lots of issues that were not addressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we have here. And unfortunately, this new board, after taking office following a very controversial November election, is now handed all of this confusion and
controversy and everything over to the new
right,
folks.
Right, and they have to clean up the mess. The milk has already been spilled, and they've got to clean it up.
Right.
And that's a big task, especially with all these issues that are outstanding and all these agreements that are being secretly discussed behind the curtain, as in The Wizard of Oz. And is this, you know, the Herald and News, April 23rd, 2016, Klamath BOR Director leaving. That is the news headline. So things are in flux. The district irrigators have not been told the truth, and we're trying in the most transparent and open and inclusive way possible to get district members up to speed.
With what little information they're willing to give you.
Right.
Yeah, this is something they're not used to. And
Well, this is something that I've noticed, too, is a lot of these agencies for so long have operated with nobody challenging them on anything. They've pretty much just had an open checkbook. Nobody has stepped up and questioned anything. And now they're starting to get questioned. They're getting backed into a corner, and they really don't know what to do. They've just never been in this position before, and I think it's hilarious.
Well, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be hilarious.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it's sad that there's so many families involved in this that are being hurt by it. But here you have an agency that is pretty much telling everybody they can't do the job. They don't have the people to, and yet.
However, if you don't do what they say, they'll shut your water off.
That's right. They can't do the job, but they've been pretending to do the job for how long now? And now they're being questioned, and they don't know what to do. It's pathetic.
Right, and it was just so offensive.
It is.
To the irrigators that they would not only just put out a contract that was bad, but they would say, you've got to sign that contract now, or we can't prevent the failure of water delivery. We can't prevent the funds from being allocated to another project. You have no choice. It's almost like an extortion contract.
Sure it is. It's making it sound like...
You sign a contract, and we won't hurt you.
Yeah, you sign the contract today because parts of this project are ready to collapse. They weren't yesterday, but they are today. And so now you have to sign it today.
Yeah, but the interesting part is it's an emergency, but they won't.
But they won't call it an emergency.
But they won't call it an emergency contract, and
because that allows them to get emergency funds.
Well, they said that when they appealed, when the recent director of the Klamath Falls office, when she was still in her position before Thursday, said that when she approached the Office of Reclamation located in Denver that had, quote-unquote, jurisdiction over this issue, they had refused the request of KID to get the 35% non-reimbursable financing arrangement. But she never gave a reason why they said no, and she didn't think it was a good for the district to obtain the denial in writing, which was very curious.
Mm-hmm.
Not to me as an administrative law attorney, because you want that stuff in writing so you can address it.
Sure.
And so that was one of the other issues that we talked about, is get everything done in writing so that we can see the reasoning behind the refusal of the BOR to provide that type of arrangement. Now, there are reports out there, mostly coming from Lacey Jarrell of Herald and News, that says that we endangered the 35%. That's hogwash. The 35% is only an issue if the Bureau designates the repair itself or the replacement itself as an emergency item, imminent risk to public health and safety. That never happened. But when you get past the designation, you get to the issue of whether the applicant for that kind of funding arrangement did certain things that met the requirements of the statute. Now, the statute has certain conditions, but the agency was responsible for making rules to implement those requirements to show how they could be met. BOR didn't make any such rules. Therefore, first you get to the emergency designation as to the type of repair needed. Then you get to the eligibility of the applicant for the special 35% non-reimbursable financing to see if they did things in the past, that past activities justify giving them this special treatment. Okay, we're not there yet. Okay, they haven't provided any conditions for that, for showing how the district met or did not meet that set of standards. So we didn't endanger anything regarding the 35% financing arrangement. We never got to the second step.
Right, but they can deny it. I mean, they can deny the funds.
Exactly, right. which is what makes this new energy bill, Senate 2012, and the Merkley-Wyden amendment to it very, very interesting.
Yeah, Amendment 3288. I should post that as well. We need to take another quick break. We'll be back with Lawrence Kogan. We're chatting about the Klamath Project, the whole big ball of wax and all the irrigation.
My head's getting ready to explode. Throw in this level of incompetence.
Every now and then I get people who say, well, I don't understand what's going on up there, and I'm like, ooh. Well, we'll have to sit down for a really long time and talk about it. We'll be right back with you. You can find all this information at wethepeopleradio.us.
Things happen while working. The metal in my head clanks and clings as I walk. Freaks my balance out. So the natural thought is just clogged up. Totally clogged up. And we need to unplug these dams and make the natural flow.
We need to unplug these dams. What language was that anyway?
It was English.
Oh, I'm
That's
sorry.
Why it was so sophisticated. To be correct.
Bob, where do you find these freak shows?
That's gorillas with a Z.
Huh. I need to get out more.
Not that far out.
Mr. Kogan?
Yes?
We've got approximately 20 minutes left with one break sandwiched in between. What are we missing? Anything? What can people do? I know I can hear them out there going, we need to do something. Is there any stuff people can do besides pay attention?
Support the new board in its effort to get to the bottom of things.
At the Klamath Irrigation District,
KID. At the Klamath Irrigation District, because they are conscientious and they want to find out what happened and to correct.
And the pressure up there on them is immense.
It's very immense because a lot of it is staged by the opposition. The minority board members as well as former board members that were behind the decision in the past to sign on to these basin agreements, not knowing what they contain. The KBRA had $90 million of funding that was to be provided to irrigators in exchange for sacrificing a portion of their water rights. The only problem is that nobody ever had filed water claims to quantify what their water rights were that they were giving up. So they never knew whether the $90 million was going to cover everybody. But they all signed on to the agreement because it was one of those feel-good things to do. Okay. They weren't informed. The district members have not been informed about anything for the last 7, 8, 9 years. That's what this new board is intending to do, so that they understand what they've gotten themselves into. And, you know, Mr. Sheets is the facilitator of these agreements, and he's obviously concerned that this process of disclosure and transparency may shed light on the features of these agreements that he would rather keep dark and muddled.
And why do you think that is?
Because really these agreements are not good for irrigators. The threat is that the tribes will sue and sue and sue, and their rights are not certain either. The tribes don't know whether they're going to win or not. But the threat is large enough when magnified by Mr. Sheets and all the people that want the agreements, you know, the Klamath Water Users Association, the people in Tule Lake District, the people in other districts that believe this is the best thing since sliced bread, but they really don't even know what they're signing on to, even though they've helped craft the agreements. They don't know what the bottom line is going to be. They really don't know.
Well, do they have
come out?
Have they had legal representation in the past that goes over these things before they sign them?
Well, apparently the same lawyer, the Tule Lake Irrigation District, the lawyer. So the Tule Lake Irrigation District is, I believe, the lawyer for the Klamath Water Users Association. Think there might be a little conflict of interest?
Yeah, a little bit. That seems odd.
You know, and then the former attorney for KID, he was also involved in all of this stuff.
So if they keep them on the payroll, they're just going to go along with everything status quo.
Well, it seems as though they were all on the same page when these agreements were signed. Okay, the fact that the new KID board is now looking at these agreements more closely is alarming to these people. It's alarming to Mr. Sheets because they thought they had a done deal. But because the KID board, the new board, is now looking at it closely, I believe that was the reason for not telling the board about the terms of the new agreement. They did not want the questions to be asked that needed to be asked. They did not want the light shown on those dark areas that can be read three or four different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're trying to deceive somebody, you write things in a way that you think is clever, which will confuse the other party. Now, this Senate Bill 2012 that just came through the U.S. Senate, that will be going into conference between the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate in the future, talks about it has an amendment, 3288, sponsored by, I believe, the Democrats, senators from Oregon,
Wyden and Merkley.
Merkley.
Right.
That would, in effect, horse trade the Secretary of Interior's funding of, you know, projects that would help irrigators, like the Sea Canal financing contract, in exchange for the use of those monies in other areas to promote, resolution of water conflicts among irrigators. And among and between irrigators and between irrigators and tribal interests to protect the environment and the fish, and to come up with a lower cost of power, which is where the Pacific Core dam removal issue pops up. It's amazing that in 2006, when Pacific Core, owned by Berkshire Hathaway Warren Buffett, acquired the four dams on the Klamath River, they couldn't meet the terms of the old license with FERC to provide a low-cost block of power for the irrigators. That was part of the license. For some reason, they couldn't afford to do it. So the Public Utility Commissions of Oregon and California, when COPCO, which is a bi-state entity, sold the dams to Warren Buffett, they agreed to waive the low-cost block of power obligation. We found testimony from 2013 from a Pacific Corp rep that showed that the power rates went up 2,700% in 6 years. Okay, that's enough to set any business into a bankruptcy situation.
Sure.
Because they can't meet payments. Luckily, Doug Whitsitt from the state of Oregon had, for at least the Oregon irrigators, enacted legislation that would have eased the pain over a course of 7 years, gradual pain. In California, they had major sticker shock. But the point is, these issues now have been put into this Senate Amendment 3288 as a horse trade. It's another extortion agreement. You do as we ask you to do, and we will pay for what it is you want. But one of the biggest problems with this 3288 that a lot of people don't see because of the clever, devious way it was written is that it authorizes, Congress through this amendment would authorize the Interior Secretary to enter into all these agreements. The ones they already signed on April 6th without telling anybody about them, plus the ones they have yet to tell people about that they plan on signing.
Oh, that's nice. So it just pushes everything forward at a little higher rate of speed.
Well, and it was written
And it also, you know, it raises the profile of the Klamath Water Users Association into something it doesn't actually. It raises their profile to a level that's higher than what it actually is. It gives them more voice than they deserve.
Well, they had a big press conference the other day that they've saved the world and all the people on it. So,
mm-hmm.
Well, you know, when you have a confluence of people there, a group of people there that believe in fish and environmental and tribal ideology, yeah, that's going to make them feel good. They believe that they've finally slam dunked this thing, but they underestimate the other side. They don't think we all can read.
Well, again, it gets back to in the past, nobody paid attention.
Well, they kind of had everybody bamboozled.
Well, they were all drinking the Kool-Aid.
Mm-hmm.
Now we found out that the Kool-Aid is laced with arsenic.
Yeah, and they're forcing us to drink it.
And we don't want to drink the Kool-Aid anymore.
Yeah. But they're telling us you have to, or else. Yeah.
Isn't that nice? It's a good deal if you can get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, right. How obvious was it in the amendment 3288? And for those people who don't look up bills a lot, your best bet is to go to congress.gov, pull up a Senate bill, just click on, you know, what you're looking for. It says current legislation and put in S-2012. It's actually the Energy Policy Modernization Act of 2016. So it wouldn't on the surface look like anything that had to do with the Klamath. It's buried in an amendment. And amendments. There are 362 of them. So you'd have to do a little digging further, and it's number 3288. I'll post that link, though. We need to take a really quick break, and then we'll be back, finish off the top of the hour, with Mr. Lawrence Kogan, who is the attorney representing the Klamath Irrigation District. And we're talking about all things in the Klamath Project and the dams, and it's lots of moving parts, and it's far from over. So you'll hear about it again, just by way of warning. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Dreamers, wake the nation. Come, the new Jerusalem. Silver cities rise, the morning lights, the streets that lead. And sirens call them on with a song.
But there's one more thing I gotta say. Hats off to Larry. It may sound cruel, but you laughed at me when you said we were through. You told me lies, but your turn. Goodbye to you.
Better hope Larry doesn't say goodbye to any of us out here. We'll be hosed. Because we were taking a pretty good hosing before he showed up. They call you the lawyer from New York, right?
No, it's that lawyer.
Oh, that lawyer from New York. Sorry, I forgot.
Right.
Not
that's
the,
right.
That.
And you have to say it, with contempt.
Right. I know, I'm not forgetting.
You're killing me, Larry!
And it is kind of funny, though, because they are not used to, they're not used to doing battle in an arena with a real player. You know, they're used to telling everybody, we're going to shut your water off, and everyone, you know, rolls over for it because they're panicked, and they don't have any resources, so... before we run out of time, thank you for bringing resources to the table and giving these guys a run for their money.
Exactly. This is, I think, the first time they've been challenged in a long time.
Oh, yeah. How long do you think this whole thing will go?
I think we've only seen the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah, okay. That's kind of what I was
thinking. Yeah, I think the corruption's going to go all the way to the top on this one.
But, you know, you have to realize, again, this is a White House agenda that's being implemented by a regional office. And they're going to have to bring in reserves to come in and get the job done for the president. So there's a lot more to come our way, and we all have to be alert as to any new faces and new activities.
And are you going to work on the Klamath Dams issue? Are you able to talk about that at all?
At this point, I can't disclose that.
Right, okay.
But for KID, KID's focus is on the process that the BOR has violated in the original KHSA that provides for meet and confer of the parties when there is a dispute or an issue of concern. And when we raise the issue before they signed the amended KHSA and the Power and Facilities Agreement, they ignored us. So how are we to know whether they're going to violate other portions of the new agreement they just signed? Their word isn't good, in other words, until they show by their actions that their word is good. Thus far, there's no proof that they're going to abide by the agreements. They do what they want. You know, it's almost as if they're quoting from Goodfellas, where if you remember, Henry Hill said, as far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster. Okay.
As far back as I can remember.
And because the White House does hearken from Chicago, this is not something that should be dismissed readily. Now, the people who are now working in the regional office in Sacramento, the head man, I think he appears to be an honest, good man. But only his actions will determine whether he can do what he says he wants to do.
Well, going forward, what should people look out for besides changes of players and all that? What about all this misinformation, I guess, from, you know, Klamath water users trying to say that the Klamath Irrigation District guys are just crazy and, you know, putting everyone in jeopardy and all that? What would you say to that as their representative?
Well, the former board members and the minority board members, they don't want anyone to look back in time, because if we start looking back in time, we may find things out that they would rather us not find out. They don't want us to know how they approached them. They don't want us to know the relationships they had with Klamath water users and their attorney, Paul Simmons, and with Greg Addington and with Dan Keppen, who was named Man of the Year. I'm still trying to figure out why.
Man of the Year, but by what group?
I guess.
Or in what context?
Water users.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Well, he probably is their Man of the Year.
You know,
he used to work for the Bureau of Reclamation, which is awesome.
Right. They portray in the state agencies, like, and the federal officials, like, you know, Mr. John Bezdek, and the state official, like, Charlton Bonham and Richard Whitman. They're all out there portraying these agreements as providing certain benefits, but they haven't proven the benefit. They wish to ignore the costs, so they get people, they provide a narrative out there that they want people to hear. And it's our job is to defunct, these misstatements, misrepresentations, and false narratives. That's what we're out here to do, is to separate the myths from the facts, debunk the falsities. And that's the worst thing that could happen to these players, because they've created all these fictions for so long that they don't even remember what they told people.
Well, I think it's great that you're helping these guys, and I think it's great that they're standing up, because I know the folks in Siskiyou County are up for the fight. They want to keep their dams, and they need the guys above the dams to stand up as well. And I know the congressional district here in Northern California is on board to try to help all these folks. And, you know, at the end of the day, the farmers should be able to grow things. People ought to be able to raise their cattle. They should be able to exercise their legal water rights. And I don't think any of those things is unreasonable.
One of the best things to happen would be if there is a cross-state alliance between the people in Siskiyou and the people in Klamath. That type of people alliance would be very difficult for the government to overcome. People power, we the people, matter.
Yep.
Absolutely.
So if you're not involved in it directly, be a supporter at least. Thanks a lot, Larry. Hope you have an awesome day today, and we really appreciate you coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks, Larry.
Thank you both. I appreciate it. Thank you for your kind words.
Thanks a lot. And you're killing me, Larry, was just for fun. You can find all our information at WeThePeopleRadio.us. See you next week.